Welcome, viewers worldwide, to CNN Student News. I'm Carl Azuz. We're starting in the nation of Turkey, where the leaders of 20 countries have gathered for the annual G20 summit. Usually, it focuses on global economic growth, but the recent terrorist attacks in Paris, France, are dominating discussions at the G20. U.S. President Barack Obama held a press conference yesterday. He spent a good part of it defending U.S. strategy for fighting ISIS, as criticism increases that America isn't doing enough to defeat the terrorist group.
There have been a few who suggested that we should put large numbers of U.S. troops on the ground. It is not just my view, but the view of my closest military and civilian advisors, that that would be a mistake.
The president plans to keep the current U.S. strategy in place, which partly involves airstrikes on ISIS targets and helping local groups fight ISIS. The Obama administration also says it's sticking with plans to accept 10,000 Syrian refugees in the U.S. next year. Yesterday, at least 19 U.S. states announced they were against allowing Syrian refugees to resettle there. 18 of them are led by Republican governors. One is by a Democrat. And at least five states said they'd accept refugees, all of them led by Democratic governors. Part of the reason for the controversy is that French authorities reported at least one of the Paris attackers had entered France with the flood of refugees from Syria, and six of the terrorists had reportedly spent time in Syria. The U.S. State Department says it has a process that allows for the safe resettlement of Syrian refugees. The director of the Central Intelligence Agency says the Paris attacks probably weren't a one-off event, so security is being increased across Europe. French President François Hollande announced 5,000 positions would be added to his country's paramilitary police force. Seven attackers were killed in the Paris assaults, but the Islamic terrorist group ISIS, which claimed responsibility, says eight attackers were involved. So the search for suspects continues. The U.S. and France say they are increasing the ways they share intelligence.
When we're talking about terror investigations that cross across 50 states, hundreds or thousands of investigations simultaneously, you can't go into a single investigation as a one-off every time. It's not a new process every time you open a case. There are simple ways to consider how to break down a case. So let's go through six or eight of them. You want to talk about money, where the money for the group is coming from. You want to talk about travel, whether the individuals in the group have gone someplace to receive training. You want to know who the conspirators are. You want to know who's at the core of the spider web of conspiracy. You want to know what we call facilitators, who, for example, provided documentation, who provided assistance to travel overseas. You want to know about documents, passports, driver's license. You want to know the critical question, do they have access to weapons and explosives? When you're looking at a case like this, you have to understand these initially to break down the case to determine its complexity. Among all these, there are two or three that I would focus on to ensure that you own the case. The first and most significant, do I have one spider in the spider web or 10? Second thing you want to focus on, do these guys have the capability to do something tonight in America that threatens a woman or child or a family? Last and most interesting, travel. In my experience, as soon as you see travel to a place like Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq, they think in a fundamentally more sophisticated way than somebody who has not had access to overseas training. So you walk in the room in the morning, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, don't say, hey, we got another terror threat in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles. Say, hey, we got another case. There's a way to break down this case so not everyone is new, and there are some things we want to prioritize to ensure that every time we can take it down clean and neat. Thank you.
The American Academy of Pediatrics says the use of antibiotics in farm animals is threatening the children who eat meat. How? Well, antibiotics are used to kill infections. But there's been an increase in people's resistance to certain antibiotics, meaning the drugs aren't as effective as they used to be. Health officials say part of the reason for this is that doctors sometimes prescribe antibiotics when they're not necessary. The pediatrics organization, which focuses on children's health, says another reason for resistance is because antibiotics are overused in farm animals. So they're encouraging parents to buy meat that has been raised without antibiotics. Why do some farmers use them? For one thing, they help keep the animals healthy, and they help them gain weight, which makes the animals more profitable for farmers. Western France is where we begin today's roll call. A warm welcome to our viewers in Châtellerault. We're glad to be part of your day at University Institute of Technology. The Western U.S. is up next. In the city of Bend, Oregon, don't tread on the Diamondbacks of High Desert Middle School. And finally, to West Virginia, the Applemen are here. Hello to everyone at Musselman High School in the community of Inwood.